Madam President, I move further proceedings and the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Sergeant is instructed to bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain on Purim is the Rabbi Sim Glazer from Temple Israel in Minneapolis. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Good morning. Thank you all for asking me to deliver an opening prayer this morning. Today, believe it or not, is yet another Jewish holiday. We have a lot of them. Today, the Jewish people celebrate a lesser-known holiday called Purim. On Purim, we dress in costumes and we listen as the biblical book of Esther is read, in which Queen Esther, a Jewish woman married to a Persian king, saves the Jews of her day by standing up to the bullying anti-Semite, a man called Haman. Children bring noisemakers and boo and hiss at the villain's name, even as they cheer on Esther and her cousin Mordechai, who bravely confront evil with their actions. Thank goodness the Purim tale is an old story, and that today we live in a world where a Persian empire could never threaten the Jewish people. Curiously, a signature feature of the Book of Esther is that it's the only book out of all 37 in the Hebrew Bible that never mentions God. The prayers in the Book of Esther come as deeds of conscience and rising to the call of an ethical mandate. As I meditated on the Purim story this year, my mind went to another big story gaining renewed attention this year, that of Martin Luther King Jr. and the March in Selma. Present at that historic march, linked arm in arm with King and others, was a notable scholar and sage of his time, Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel. Though he did not make it into the film, Heschel had this to say about racial justice and civil rights. He said, "God is either the father of all men or the father of no men. And the idea of judging a person in terms of black or brown or white is an eye disease." He also said, "For many of us, the march from Selma to Montgomery was about protest and prayer. Legs are not lips, and walking is not kneeling. And yet our legs uttered songs. Even without words, our march was worship. I felt my legs were praying." So we learn from the ancient story of Esther on this Purim day and the modern example of Rabbi Heschel that often it is our actions that speak louder than our words. Prayers come in many forms, not least of which are governing, lawmaking, volunteering, voting, and standing up for an oppressed and disenfranchised people in our midst. With the most important positions bestowed upon us by the people of the great state of Minnesota and the tasks that lie ahead, may our actions and judgments be as powerful as the most fervent prayers heard on high. And may you all go from strength to strength. Amen.
Of the United States of America. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice. I'm going to come take a picture. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fishbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J., Peterson B., Pratt, Reinert, Rest, Rosen, Rude, Saxog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Uyghur, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. We move first to the fifth order of business, reports of committees. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Seventh order of business, second reading of House bills. House Files 134 and 423 are given their second reading. Eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. The bills listed on today's introduction calendar are given their first reading and referred as indicated. Ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. These are author motions that will be adopted as one motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Excuse me,
Senator Westrum.
Madam President, that's my motion. I would like that bill returned to me. I'm replacing it with a different bill.
Senator Westrum moves that Senate File Number 709 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and returned to author. And that's your bill, Senator Westrum?
Madam President, that's my bill.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Is he here? Where is he? Senator Cohen.
Madam President, I'd move that Senate File 1214 be withdrawn from the Committee on State and Local and we refer to the Committee on Finance.
And this is your bill?
Madam Chair, I believe it is, and it's simply an appropriation for local radio grants. It's not a substantive policy matter.
And you've spoken to the policy chair?
I believe she's aware of it.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate resolutions number 86 to 89 will be referred to the Committee on Rules. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move we Senate take up the confirmation calendar.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The first confirmation on the calendar is Department of Energy Commissioner Brenda Casilia. Senator Wieger.
Madam President, I move that the report from the Committee on Education, reported February 26, 2015, pertaining to the appointment of the Commissioner of Education, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Wieger.
Madam President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Wieger.
Madam President, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Education, reported February 26, 2015, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Department of Education Commissioner Brenda L. Casilius for a term effective January 5, 2015, for a term expiring on January 7, 2019.
Senator Wieger, do you want to tell us something about the commissioner?
Yes, Madam President, members, we have approved her for the previous term. I want to say she's doing a great job. She's dedicated, hardworking, results-oriented. She's a Minnesota success story, going from a Head Start program to Harvard, being trained as a teacher, working up to becoming an assistant principal, then a principal, an assistant superintendent, then a superintendent, and highly respected not only in our state but throughout the country. And I might add, a role model to so many people, particularly people that in poverty and women that have overcome and led by example. She's tenacious in terms of staying on task, working on a number of proposals that we have put as high priority, that highest priority being to create the world's best workforce. And just very briefly, one of our highest priorities for the highest return on investment is early education. There's been reorganizing in the department for that to get a better handle on how we can more efficiently deliver these programs. And now we have readiness for kindergarten at over 70%. Just several years ago, it was only about 50%. We're making improvement. And at the other end, in terms of graduation and college career ready, it was just announced that we're at about 80% now for students that are graduating, and improvements made as well for students of color. Is there more to be done? Absolutely. And that'll be a challenge as we address our budget and policy in the future. But progress is being made. So, Madam President, I urge you to support the reappointment of Commissioner Caselius.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm opposing the reappointment of Commissioner Caselius for a couple of reasons. First, Madam President, the commissioner, in my opinion, has focused more on building a bureaucracy rather than putting her efforts and a social services department rather than putting her efforts into truly improving the outcomes of Minnesota students. I think there's a couple of ways that can be demonstrated, most notably the budget that she and the governor presented to the Education Committee in regards that her department in that budget proposal would take a 33% increase. So overall education spending is going up around 3%, and in the biennium, her department is getting a 33% increase. That's not addressing the needs of students, that's addressing the needs of the bureaucracy. The second piece is that many of the proposals extend beyond K-12 education, and we need to focus on those student outcomes. Too many of these programs that we're talking about should not be in education. They should be in health and human services, as they're more of family support rather than really making sure our kids are well educated. And finally, I'm concerned in committee as we questioned her about some of the achievements that she had taken credit for. Her response to the committee was, "Well, I really didn't have a lot of influence in this area, particularly with the Board of Teaching. So as we're having problems getting teachers certified to teach in our schools in outstate Minnesota, she's claiming that she doesn't have the authority to take that on. What we're doing is we're moving more and more of our decision-making process from local school districts, from local communities, centralizing it in the Department of Education and turning it into a social services program, and then expanding the budget 33%. So I urge members to oppose this confirmation.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I think it's fair that a governor should have the people that reflect his views serve him as commissioners, and I think it is fair to say that Commissioner Caselius does reflect the views of the governor. But I think that's part of the issue that maybe some of us have with this confirmation. It's not so much that she hasn't been a good messenger for Governor Dayton, but it's the fact of the message that Governor Dayton is sending the people of the state by the actions of the commissioner, the actions of the Department of Education. I was looking at the press release that Governor Dayton put out at the appointment of Commissioner Caselius, and they talked about three priorities that the governor and he thought the commissioner and the Department of Education should have. And the three priorities were improve state funding, focus more resources on early childhood, and narrow the achievement gap. I think it's fair to say that there has been an increase in funding, but, you know, education, K-12 education, has always been, at least in recent memory, that the most significant part of the state budget, over 40%. It's always been that much. It hasn't been neglected in funding, but there clearly has been an effort by the governor to say we need more money. And we don't object to spending money. Sometimes people are accused Republicans of being against spending money or against government. We're not. We just want it to be used effectively. Why would you spend more money unless it is to accomplish something? And the thing that was listed in the goal that should be accomplished is a narrowing of the achievement gap. To me, that's one of the reasons why you want to spend money, to make sure that happens. Or if you want to focus on early childhood, it should be directed to that end. And what has been the result of the achievement gap? There's a story that came out February 19th of this year, NPR News, a great Republican organization. For the third year in a row, Minnesota lags the rest of the country in on-time graduation rates for students of color. Again, lags the country under Governor Dayton's administration. has the worst or second worst graduation rates among reporting states in all four non-white student categories. Here's a quote. This isn't so much about these young people failing, we're failing them. That was a quote by Carlos Mariani, state representative. I think what we're hearing, and it's obvious that the achievement issue, the achievement gap, has become the problem that we love to admire. We talk about it, we point it out, we say, here it is, and then we do the same thing over and over and over again. Spend more money, find some magic program that we want to implement. We're just shuffling the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. Something needs to be done. We need to bring some focus. We have the responsibility in the state legislature to make sure that our systems are working. And I agree with Representative Mariani. This system isn't working, and it needs bold leadership. Needs bold leadership from the governor and certainly from his commissioner, and I don't think we're seeing that. Now, we on our side, we have talked about in the past, and we'll talk about actually some more today, some ideas that Republicans have to focus on how do we get at that problem. And it is a systemic problem. It's not a money problem. It's not a great idea problem. It's about who makes the decisions. Who's held accountable? What does that accountability look like? And the idea that we get more accountability by making some program from Washington, D.C. or St. Paul the litmus test on achievement is just wrong. We're talking about, we have heard the governor and the commissioner talk about improved graduation rates, but we've lowered the standards for graduation rates. Is it any surprise that if we lower the standards for graduation, you're going to get more people to qualify as graduates? We are failing a generation of students in our system, and we need to do better. It's not just about money. It's about leadership, and we're not seeing that from this governor and this commissioner, and I think it would be a good message for us to send that message to the governor and say we want leadership, not the more of the same.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Weaker. Do you renew your motion?
Madam President, I would renew my motion and would just restate again her leadership, the improvements that have been made in readiness for K. The proof is in the numbers. The investments in dollars have been supported by local school districts, and the improvements in the achievement gap are there. Are we in need of additional improvements? Of course we are, and that'll always be a challenge to improve on what we can do for students and academic achievement. But the record is clear. The graduation rate has improved. We have narrowed the achievement gap. I renew my motion.
The final question on the appointment is, will the Senate, having given its advice, now consent to this appointment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion prevails. Commissioner is confirmed. The next confirmation on the confirmation calendar is Public Utilities Commissioner John Tuma. Senator Marty.
Madam President, I move that the report from the Committee on Environment and Energy reported February 26, 2015, pertaining to appointments to the PUC, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator
Madam President, I move the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Marty.
Madam President, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Environment and Energy reported February 26, 2015, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to confirm the appointment of John Tuma of Northfield to the Public Utilities Commission.
Senator Marty, tell us a little bit about Mr. Yes. Commissioner Tuma.
Madam President, members, I think a lot of people here know Mr. Tuma. He served in the House of Representatives from, I think, 1994 to 2002. He's practiced law in Northfield for a number of years with somebody who we won't name right now. But he has been representing a number of groups on energy, policy for the last number of years. And the Public Utilities Commission is an agency that, well, it has a quasi-judicial function. And I think what we want here is people who will listen carefully, who will do their homework. And I'm confident that Mr. Tuma will do a good job of that, and I urge your support.
Is there any discussion? This is Senator Osmick.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise also in support of former Representative Tuma. We heard him in front of committee. He was in my office. He said some very important things, and one of them was he wants to make sure that we balance the effects of the ratepayer. That's everybody who pays for their energy and pays for the changes and utilities and all everything that's involved in turning the lights on in your house, with the ability to maintain a clean environment and keep Minnesota very as clean as possible so that we can pass on to our next generations a great state. So with that, Madam President, I suggest that we approve this individual. Thank you.
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam President. I stand as well to support John Tuma for this position. I know very well the attorney with whom he practiced law in Northfield because I'm that attorney. And I am not on the committee, but I do know John Tuma very well. So I don't really stand to discuss his policy agenda as much as I stand to vouch for his character. And having worked with John very closely for 4 years and then having been a good friend of his since that time, I can tell you that Mr. Tuma is somebody who is a man of character. And it wants to do the right thing. And in my view, whether an individual is a legislator, a member of the executive branch, whatever area of public service one is in, the most important quality, I believe, is character and a desire to do the right thing. And I know for a fact that Mr. Tuma embodies that, and therefore I would respectfully urge members to support him.
Is there any more discussion? Will the Senate, having given its advice, now consent to this appointment? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The appointment is confirmed. Next person on the agenda, Department of Natural Resources Commissioner Tom Landwehr. Senator Marty.
Madam President, I move the report from the Committee on Environment and Energy reported February 26 pertaining to the appointment of Commissioner of Natural Resources be taken from the table.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Marty.
Madam President, I move the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Marty.
Madam President, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Environment and Energy reported February 26, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Tom Landwehr of Shoreview, Minnesota, as Commissioner of Department of Natural Resources.
Could you say a few words about Commissioner Landwehr?
Madam President, I think most members here know Commissioner Landwehr. He's been serving in this position for the last 4 years. He has worked his whole career in wildlife management, Nature Conservancy, Ducks Unlimited. He's worked at the DNR a number of periods of time. He is somebody who I think we all recognize the controversies the DNR always faces. And Commissioner Landwehr spent, I think it was probably a full hour in front of our committee presenting what they're working on, their priorities, his vision for things, and taking questions. I think it was, I think the committee unanimously supported him, even though people may have strong differences of opinion with him on many issues. But I think he's done a very good job with a very tough position, and I urge his reconfirmation.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, will the Senate, having given its advice, now consent to this appointment? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The appointment was confirmed. The next person on the confirmation calendar is Commissioner Lawrence Pogemiller, Senator Bonhoff.
Madam President, I move that the report from the Committee on Higher Education and Workforce Development, reported March 2, 2015, pertaining to the appointment of the Commissioner of Higher Education, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bonhoff.
I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bonoff.
I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Higher Education and Workforce Development reported March 2, 2015, the Senate, having given its advice, to now consent to and confirm the appointment of Office of Higher Education Commissioner Lawrence J. Pogamiller for a term expiring on January 7, 2019.
Would you say a few words about Mr. Commissioner Pogamiller?
Thank you, Madam President. Commissioner Pogamiller was first appointed as Commissioner of the Minnesota Office of Higher Education by Governor Dayton in November of 2011. Many of us, obviously, here in the chamber have served with previously Senator Pogamiller. Commissioner Pogamiller has had a distinguished career in the Minnesota State Senate, representing a Minneapolis district for 30 years. Prior to being appointed commissioner, he served as Senate Majority Leader from 2007 to 2010, after having previously served as Chair of the Senate Tax and Senate Education Committees. Members, one of the things that I have appreciated about Commissioner Pogamiller, and I think all of the members of the committee would agree, is how responsive he is. When there is a question, when there is a bill, when there's any kind of a issue in the area of higher education, we call on the commissioner and really all of his staff. I would like to take this opportunity also to applaud and acknowledge the responsiveness of the entire staff of the Office of Higher Education. And their responsiveness is also not just about being responsive, but delivering high-quality work. Finally, Commissioner Pogamiller graduated from the University of Minnesota with his Bachelor of Science in Transportation Engineering and earned his Master's of Public Administration from the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, will the Senate, having given its advice, now consent to this appointment? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The appointment was confirmed. The next person on the confirmation calendar is Commissioner of Human Rights Kevin Lindsay. Senator Latz.
Madam Chair, I move that the report from the Committee on Judiciary, reported March 2nd, pertaining to the appointment of the Commissioner of Human Rights, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Latz.
Madam Chair, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Latz.
Madam Chair, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Judiciary, reported March 2, 2015, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Department of Human Rights Commissioner Kevin M. Lindsay.
Could you tell us something about Commissioner Lindsay?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Kevin Lindsay was appointed Commissioner of Human Rights in February 2011 by Governor Dayton. He had previously served as a civil litigation attorney in the office of the Ramsey County Attorney and has 20 years of legal experience. Commissioner Lindsay has prioritized new department strategies to investigate charges of discrimination more quickly and has also committed to calling upon government to collaborate more closely with stakeholders to address racial and economic disparities. Lindsay received his Juris Doctor and BA from the University of Iowa, where as a law student he served as editor-in-chief of the Iowa Law Review. He worked for the firm of Oppenheimer, Wolf, and Donnelly, where he practiced civil litigation, primarily representing clients in employment, product liability, contract, and health law. He was also the chief operating officer and general counsel of Axis Incorporated, where he was responsible for managing human resources operations, ensuring legal and administrative compliance, and risk management. Prior to his work at Ramsey County, Mr. Lindsay worked for the firm of Halliland, Lewis, Nyland, and Johnson in the employment and health law groups. Members, Commissioner Lindsay has done a very, very good job as Commissioner of Human Rights and received the strong endorsement and support from the Judiciary Committee. I encourage your support here today on the floor.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, will the Senate, having given its advice, now consent to this appointment? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The appointment was confirmed. The next Appointment on the agenda is the Commissioner of Corrections, Thomas Roy. Senator Latz.
Madam Chair, I move that the report from the Committee on Judiciary, reported March 2, 2015, pertaining to the appointment of the Commissioner of Corrections, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Latz.
Madam Chair, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Latz.
Madam Chair, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Judiciary, reported March 2, 2015, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Department of Corrections Commissioner Thomas A. Roy.
Senator Latz, tell us something about Commissioner Roy.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The majority of Tom Roy's career has been spent on the front lines of corrections. After graduating from the University of Minnesota in 1974, he began his career as a probation officer for Arrowhead Regional Corrections in northeast Minnesota. In that capacity, he worked with offenders to turn their lives around. In 1984, he was promoted to the position of chief probation officer for Arrowhead Regional Corrections, where he was tasked with coordinating all adult and juvenile probation and parole officers. In 2002, he became the organization's executive director and administered the agency's $20 million budget while managing a staff of 221 employees. Tom Roy was appointed to be the Commissioner of Corrections by Governor Dayton in 2011. Members, Commissioner Roy also received the strong endorsement of the Judiciary Committee for reappointment, and I encourage your support today on the floor.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, will the Senate, having given its advice, now consent to this appointment? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The appointment was confirmed. The next person on the confirmation calendar is Commissioner of Public Safety, Ramona Doman. Senator Latz.
Madam Chair, I move that the report from the Committee on Judiciary, reported March 2, 2015, pertaining to the appointment of the Commissioner of Public Safety, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Latz.
I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Latz.
I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Judiciary, reported March 2, 2015, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Department of Public Safety Commissioner Ramona L. Doman.
Senator Latz, tell us something about Commissioner Doman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Doman was appointed Commissioner of Public Safety by Governor Dayton in January 2011. Prior to her appointment, she spent 10 years serving as chief of the Maple Grove Police Department. She joined that department in 1984 and served as an investigator, patrol officer, sergeant, and captain before her promotion to chief in 2001. She has 30 years of law enforcement experience, including serving as a patrol officer in Glencoe and Marshall. In 2010, Doman was appointed chair of the Police Officer Standards and Training, or POST Board, by Governor Pawlenty. She is a past president of the Minnesota Chiefs of Police Association and the Hennepin County Chiefs of Police Association. She is a member of the International Association of Chiefs of Police, the Suburban Law Enforcement Association, the Law Enforcement Memorial Association, and the Association of Minnesota Emergency Managers. She is a graduate of the University of St. Thomas with a master's degree in educational administration with a focus on police leadership. She also holds a bachelor's degree in criminal justice administration from Metro State University, an associate's degree in law enforcement from Alexandria Technical College, and is a graduate of the FBI National Academy in Quantico, Virginia. Madam Chair, the Commissioner Doman is supremely qualified for this position, and she received, again, the strong endorsement of the Judiciary Committee, and I encourage members to do the same today on the floor.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, will the Senate, having given its advice, now consent to this appointment? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The appointment was confirmed. The next person on the confirmation calendar is Department of Transportation Commissioner Charles Zelli. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President.
Madam President, I move that the report from the Committee on Transportation and Public Safety, reported March 4th, 2015, pertaining to the appointment of the Commissioner of Transportation, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Dibble.
Madam President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Dibble.
Madam President, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Transportation and Public Safety, reported March 4th, 2015, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Charles A. Zelli as Commissioner for the Department of Transportation.
Tell us something about Commissioner Zelli, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President and members, it's with great pleasure that I support the confirmation of Charles Zelli, also known as Charlie, as the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Transportation. Madam President, he's served in this role for 2 years now. He brought a tremendous amount of experience to the job, particularly his background is in business and his background on transportation operations and planning and policy. Many know that he helped to run his family's business, the Jefferson Inner City Bus Line. He served on the American Bus Association Board. He has served on the Minneapolis Regional Chamber of Commerce, another business group known as the Itasca Project. He served on the board, the Executive Committee of the Center for Transportation Studies. He served at the governor's request in his private capacity on the Transportation Finance and Advisory Committee. In terms of his tenure at the Department of Transportation, he has undertaken a number of initiatives that, in our view, have done a lot to improve the function and operations of the Department of Transportation, improving external communications, taking on some fairly difficult challenges with the Office of Civil Rights and the DBE programs there. They worked hard as a senior leadership team with the advice and participation of the whole agency to develop a new vision, mission, and values. He's restructured the senior management team and their decision-making process. Part of their efforts, including elevating the notion of enhancing financial effectiveness as a chief focus and goal of the Department of Transportation, they conceived of and implemented the very successful and very popular corridors of commerce to make key investments along our state highways, supported by our county highways and other roadway systems, to improve our economic outlook as supported by roadway infrastructure. They've initiated and have turned in very important return on investment studies, two major studies looking at both return on investment inside the transportation envelope, as you will, as well as return on investment that have larger external improvements to our lives, our quality of life, and our economy. He's participated in multi-agency efforts, including the Environmental Quality Board, the effort to end homelessness, the large First Stop initiative that allows businesses to come in to one spot if they have multiple permitting needs from various agencies. He's been working hard on traveling the entire state to engage many, many stakeholders at all levels in all sectors of Minnesota life to talk about transportation and what it means to our aspirations, to our families, to our businesses, and the like. Very, very much improved the public engagement process with much more work to be done that he identifies. Expanding diversity inclusion efforts, doing a great deal of multimodal planning, turning in the large planning report, the Minnesota GO plan, that involves multimodal planning, which is tied to those larger economic development and quality of life goals. A lot of efficiencies that they've gained through the department, dollars that they put on the table that they've redeployed to build projects that otherwise would have waited many, many years. For that and many other reasons, Madam President, I'm happy to support Charlie Zelli as Commissioner of Transportation.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. I would rise in support of Commissioner Zelli as well and encourage members to support this confirmation. You've heard that he's one of our commissioners that has extensive private sector experience, Madam President, and I believe that has served him well and the residents of Minnesotans very well. I've also been encouraged by the time that he has spent in greater Minnesota, which I think has been well received by Minnesotans generally across the state. Commissioner Zelli took a number of questions in committee. Two areas that I'll focus on that our office has had concerns about or heard concerns about. One
in that you may know he serves in the role as chairman of the board of Jefferson Bus Lines, and Jefferson does receive significant transportation grants from the state of Minnesota as well as the federal government. But I have been shown, and I believe the committee has been shown, that he has adequately addressed that perceived, and I would stress a perceived, conflict of interest. We believe that is not, and he has adequately addressed that, and our office, and I'm sure Senator Dibble's office, would be happy to provide that documentation if anybody has concerns about that moving forward. A second area of questioning he took related to his compensation, and Commissioner Zelli was very clear. Compensation of the pay he received was not a consideration at all in his application process. He is happy to serve. And moving forward, he has no plans to resign if his compensation does not change. He was very clear from the questioning. That's my perception, that the compensation for that commissioner position had no impact and will have no impact on him staying there in the future. And I think the committee was glad to hear that as well, and would urge you to support this nomination at this time.
Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, will the Senate, having given its advice, now consent to this appointment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The appointment was confirmed. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the confirmation calendar be continued.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The absentees. Are there any announcements? Sorry, I need to be reminded.
Madam President.
Oh, Senator Han.
Is this the right time for an announcement?
Yes, announcements.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm wondering if Senator Bach could perhaps respond. We had on the calendar initially today House File 8 that we did not take up, but it is an important piece of legislation, an important piece of child protection improvement. It was passed in the House unanimously recently. They kind of had it on a fast track. I'm just wondering if Senator Bach, you could tell the body a little bit about what happened and what's going on with this, and are we going to see this in the near future?
Senator Bach.
Well, Madam President, Senator Han, because of our compressed committee schedule, we didn't want to get too bogged down in special orders on the floor today. We wanted to get through some of these commissioners. We didn't know how long that was going to take. I would expect that we will take up House File 8 next week on a special order calendar.
Without objections, the following members will be excused for the day: Senator Stump, Chamberlain, Champion, Housley. Any other announcements? I would like to ask the Haman Toshin sponsors to gather in the retiring room for a quick photo. And Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I just wanted to highlight on your desk as an invitation, and I did sign it on the back in case anyone was concerned it didn't get signed, to Bulldog Day. There's going to be a reception at the event room at Kellogg Square, which I think half of us, are at least or more, who aren't from the city stay at during session. That's March 11th, 5 to 6:30. Come and share some social time with the students and faculty and administration from UMD. That will be down that day. Thank you.
Any other announcements? Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the Senate do not adjourn until Monday, March 9, 11 a.m.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned.